Next Wednesday is pre-communion, so just giving you a bit of advance notice, we'll be doing something different next Wednesday for our pre-communion service. It was nice to hear the music there tonight, with Shannon playing a video or two, and maybe we'll get some music as well for next Wednesday night for our pre-communion service. Tonight we come to the theme of kindness in our series. We've had love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness tonight. And someone said to me going out after the first talk on love, she said that as she left that night, she thought, well, that was a bit simple. And then she went home. The dog hadn't been walked, the dishes hadn't been done, the homeworks hadn't been done, and she said suddenly the talk on love didn't seem so simple anymore, because she was tempted to read the riot act to the family that she had left the list of jobs for, and none of them had been done. And there is that sense with this series that what we're looking at, it seems so simple. Tonight's kindness. And yet actually to practice it is a whole new ball game and a whole challenge to each and every one of us. So tonight it's kindness we're going to be thinking about. So let's just pray as we come before God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather here tonight. We thank you for this series that we have been enjoying on Christian character. And we thank you that tonight we come to the theme of kindness. And our Father, we thank you that this is important because you're a God who is kind. Help us, we pray tonight, to be fed by your word and challenged by your word. Help us, we pray, to consider what we might do in response to the talk tonight. And may it be that our lives, if we name the name of Christ, are marked by kindness in different ways, and that we, Heavenly Father, would be such a people here in this congregation and wherever you send us throughout the week. We thank you, Father, for your word and how this book has stood the test of time. We thank you for how it's inspired, for how it's infallible, for how it's inerrant, for how it is able to make us wise unto salvation, and then to show us how to live. May it be, Lord, that tonight we sense that being shown how to live. May it be that tonight we sense that challenge of living out your word, putting arms and legs on it, as it were, and not just letting it go in one ear and out the other. So, our Father, we ask you to be with us now, and we ask you to speak to us, and we pray these things for your glory and for your honor through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's turn to the book of Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 29, just down to the end of the chapter. So Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning to read at verse 29. Sorry, verse 25. I should have brought my glasses. Verse 25. This is God's word. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. And we're going to concentrate on that last verse. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I don't know if you've been shopping in Lidl at all over the past few months, but if you have been, you can hardly fail to notice the public address system continually playing the message about shoppers being kind to one another, be kind to the other people in the shop. And in these COVID times, that has been maybe one of the spin-offs of COVID, the awareness of the need to be a kinder society, and hopefully that will continue long into the future. I don't know whoever wrote the script in Lidl, but I wonder, do they know that they were quoting the Bible? Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another. Who would have thought it that you're hearing the Bible quoted in Lidl every time you're in doing your shopping? And tonight we come to the fifth of these fruits of the Spirit. We have looked at love, joy, peace, patience, and tonight kindness. And kindness is an important marker of Christian character and Christian growth. But I have to ask myself this as I consider this tonight. Is it just a little announcement? Or is there more to it than that? Is it just a little announcement? Or is there more to it than that? For surely if it's a fruit of the Spirit, as Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, kindness, then what's being talked about here in Scripture as kindness is not just something that's natural, but it's something that's supernatural. It's not something that's just a civic duty, but it's something divine that's being talked about. It's not something common or garden, but it's something that's Christ-like and unique to those people who have been born again of the Spirit of God. So tonight, as we think about kindness, please don't think it's just a wee message like they broadcast in Lidl, be kind to one another. We're talking now tonight about a fruit of the Spirit in a person's life, someone who has been born again of the Spirit of God. The first thing to realize as we think about this is that kindness in the Bible sense, now I'm thinking obviously about the Bible sense tonight, it comes from God because God is kind. And how good it is to discover that from the pages of the Bible. The gods, for example, of the Greek and Roman world were often anything but kind gods. They were couldn't care less gods about you and I. They were often careless and cruel gods towards their devotees. Sacrifices were always necessary to placate them and to stop them being in a bad mood. There was this constant running to the temple, running with sacrifices to keep them off your back so that you didn't have bad luck with the gods. But then you come to a verse like Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. But in the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's translated as, taste and see that the Lord is kind. Or Psalm 136, we sometimes sing it at harvest time, give thanks to the Lord, for he is, we sing good, but it can be translated, for he is kind. And Jesus, speaking about God in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, talks about God as the Most High. He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And Jesus says, if you imitate him, then you too will be sons of the Most High. So tonight as we're thinking about kindness, and there is a good bit of overlap with the theme of goodness. Let me just perhaps just draw a little bit of a line between the two of them. If I, on your birthday, say, give you a birthday present, I'm being kind to you. I'm giving you a birthday present, but I'm also being good to you. The words are interchangeable. I'm being kind to you, I'm being good to you, here's your present. But the word kindness, perhaps, conveys more a sense of a giving, whereas goodness is something that I can just have as a disposition. I can, yes, be kind as a disposition, but if I'm just good in a disposition sense, I'm just good. I don't have to give. But if I'm kind in my disposition, I will be someone who gives. So I think that's the difference. It's a slight difference. But kindness means that you're a giver rather than just someone who is of a kindly disposition. You're a giver, and you're ready to give towards others as they appear before you. I've been intrigued. I looked up a few books on the doctrine of God, and remember thinking about the fact that God is kind. And I looked up some of the books that I have on the doctrine of God, and I looked at, for example, a very famous one, A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy. And he has about 20 divine attributes each chapter, only 3 or 4 pages. If you want a good book on the doctrine of God, it's an excellent one. He has about 20 divine attributes, but kindness is not one of them. I looked at A.W. Pink, another classic, The Attributes of God. Again, nearly 20 of them, and kindness is not there. Now, there's overlap with goodness. Or again, a modern writer, John MacArthur, in his book, Our Awesome God, 12 attributes, and kindness, again, is not listed as one of them. And as I say, I'm not downplaying those writers, I'm just saying there's a kindness and goodness overlap. Goodness is something I perhaps, that God is in and of himself, but kindness much more is a giving. And that's the sense in which I'm talking about it tonight. Just to show you other examples, if you'd like to go to Romans chapter 2, just for a reference to the kindness of God. Depends to you what translation you're using, so I'm not going to really bounce between translations tonight, but it does slightly depend. Some of them go for kindness in their translation, some of them go for goodness in their translation. But in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and Paul here is speaking to religious people, and people who are saying to Paul, what's all this stuff about being saved? We don't need to be saved. We go to our synagogue, we read our Bibles, we've been brought up as strict Jews. Why do we need to be saved? And he says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? Here were people who were saying, well, we're not given to wine, women, and song, so why do we need to repent? And Paul's phrase in the King James Version is that God has been kind towards you. He has given you the Bible, the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the covenants, the temple, the promises. All of that is an expression of God's kindness towards you. That you need to repent of your sin. That God has been good to you despite the fact your hearts have been so far from God and so rebellious. And you've thrown that goodness back in God's face, as it were. And that's why we need to realize that kindness is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the human heart. It's what Paul is driving at here, the need to be born again. And admittedly, some people are very kindly by nature. And even if we're not really that kindly by nature, we're all capable of doing kind things from time to time. But the sort of kindness that is being talked about here is this supernatural kindness that comes as a result of the regeneration of the soul by the Holy Spirit. If you go to Romans chapter 11, just for another reference, Romans 11 and verse 22. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. I think that's a lovely reference there to the kindness of God. Paul is referring there by that expression, the kindness of God, to salvation. That salvation is the very essence of the kindness of God. He says in the book of Titus, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, as if Jesus is the walking kindness of God. And when the walking kindness of God appeared, if I could paraphrase it, he saved us. So Paul is highlighting for us in different places the kindness of God, that God is kind. And I wonder, do we thank God in our prayers that he is kind? Do we worship him as a kind God? Or sometimes do we treat him a bit like the Greek and Roman gods, as a God to sort of pay off, to keep him away from us? So let's think of some practical examples from the scriptures. And I'll start with one female before moving on to a man. The female is Ruth. Let's think about Ruth for a moment or two. Ruth's often preached on at harvest season. But think how Ruth treated Naomi, her mother-in-law. You remember when Naomi's husband died and Ruth's husband died, Naomi tried to send Ruth back to Moab, where she came from. And she said to Ruth, "May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead husband and also to me, your mother-in-law." You read the opening chapters of the book of Ruth, and Ruth respected her mother-in-law. She provided for her by gleaning in the fields. She listened to her advice. She comforted her in the deaths of her husband and the other men in the family. And she lived with her. Read the story. She lived with her in order to care for her. And I know it's trendy to make fun. I'll just stick to the mother-in-law for a moment. I know it's trendy to make fun of your mother-in-law if you have a mother-in-law. But kindness really does begin at home. And there's no point listening to a talk in church on the subject of how God has been kind to you, and God is a kind God, and he saved you, and what a great kindness has come into your life, if you can't find it in your heart to be kind to your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, whatever in-laws you might have or that you joke about are actually your outlaws. You see, how are we with our families? Do we treat them kindly? Are we kind towards them, even though sometimes they drive us mad? You see, Ruth is an example. May the Lord show kindness to you as you've shown to your dead husband and to me, says Naomi. You've been really kind to me, my dear. Really kind. Can your mother-in-law, can my mother-in-law say of me, "You've been really kind to me, dear. Really kind." How do we treat the older generation within our families? Another example is David, King David, and how he treated the boy Mephibosheth, who was a cripple in Jerusalem. Mephibosheth was a son of Saul, the king before David. He had been dropped as a child by his nurse, and he had been left crippled in both of his feet. I suppose in those days there was no restorative surgery. There was no Musgrave Park Hospital to send a child with broken legs to, so he lived as a cripple for the rest of his life. As a boy, as a child, he had nothing to offer King David. He couldn't fight in the army. He couldn't earn any money for him. Couldn't do anything, actually. And yet David says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, "Is there still no one left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" And Mephibosheth gets invited by King David to dine at his table. Even though he's crippled in both feet, he's got nothing to offer King David, nothing. But David is just kind to him, it seems to me. Yes, because of his father Saul, but really he's just being kind to him because he wants to be kind to him. One other example of kindness is in Acts chapter 3. And verse 4, Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. The story of the healing of a crippled beggar, a man who had been crippled from birth, and there's opposition from the religious authorities. And they challenge Peter in verse 9 about what has happened. And Peter says this, "If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stands before you healed." Obviously, it was the power of God. But the point is, it was an act of kindness. Peter labels it an act of kindness shown to a cripple. Because God is kind. As it says in Ezra chapter 9, though we are slaves, our God has not deserted us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. God is kind. God does kind things. And his people who truly know him and follow him likewise do kind things. But let me, before I close tonight, consider some obstacles to showing kindness, because it isn't, as I indicated at the start, it's not as easy as it sounds. People may not show kindness because they're resentful of the other person. Maybe a hurt's been done to them, and they just don't want to be kind towards someone who has hurt them in the past. Or maybe they're resentful of their privileges, or their money, or their family, or their lives. We have a phrase here in Northern Ireland that he wouldn't give him the light of day, or she wouldn't give her the light of day. Meaning we hold back, we refuse to show kindness to somebody we resent. Resentment will stop you showing kindness. It needs to be repented of. Or we might not show kindness because we're impatient of the other person. We want them out of the way. Couldn't they move faster? They have nothing to offer us. They're too old. They're too young. They're just taking up my time and my energy. I have no interest in being kind to them. I need to get on my way. Can't be bothered with them. Think if Christ had treated you, had treated me like that. Just couldn't be bothered with. Then we might not show kindness because we doubt it's worth it. What's the point in being kind? Who'll take any notice? Yet Ruth cared for Naomi, and it made a difference to Naomi. David saw kindness as worth it, making a difference to Mephibosheth. And didn't Jesus say in Mark chapter 9, anyone who gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. It's not much, giving a cup of cold water. But God takes notice of those things. He keeps a record, and one day he will remind them. Or you may not show kindness to someone because there's no money in it. When money is your bottom line, when money is king, well, what's the point in being kindness and being kind if there's no profit in it? There's lots of reasons we might not show kindness to people. But it's good to remind ourselves, just to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Paul repeats it in Colossians chapter 3, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And again in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Why do these things keep coming up in the Bible? Because we keep forgetting them. We have to keep getting told things over and over and over again because we keep forgetting them. We need reminded. I don't know if you know the film Ben-Hur or not, but in that film, the man who the film's named after, Ben-Hur, he's a Judean nobleman. He gets accused of attempting to murder a Roman soldier. Gets arrested and he gets packed off in a chain gang. All these prisoners are chained up. And as he's being transported, they come to a village. It's Bethlehem. It's the time of Christ. And the prisoners, someone draws water from the well for the prisoners, and they're hot. They've got blood caked on them. It's an awful, the chains on and so on. But the man, Ben-Hur, the Roman soldier, cracks the whip and says, none for him. None for him. Because he tried to kill a Roman soldier. And in the film, as Ben-Hur lies on the ground, just crying and saying, help me God, there's this pair of hands comes into the shot. You don't see the face of the person. And this person just presents a vessel of water to Ben-Hur. And Ben-Hur looks up, and then he just guzzles the water, and the hands then bathe his face and wash the blood off Ben-Hur's face. It's not said in the film who it is, but it's Christ. And the soldier comes back over and he cracks the whip again and he says, get away from that man. He's not to get any water. But as Christ stands up, the soldier looks at him and just backs off. And he looks again at him and he just backs off. It's a very powerful moment. As these manly hands, the carpenter's hands, supply a drink of water to a prisoner who's being beaten by a soldier. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And just one final reference. In 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a closing exhortation. Make every effort to add to your faith. Some people, just as long as they've got faith, that's the most important thing. Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. It's not enough just to say I'm saved. Are you kind? The connection with to godliness add brotherly kindness. Being godly is not just knowing your Bible, being a theology head or being sound and being able to quote the catechism. Godliness is giving a cup of water. Godliness is how you treat the people around you, the strangers as well as your family and friends. And also, I think, being kind to yourself as well. Lots of people beat themselves up, or they rubbish themselves, or they're full of negative emotions and say, I'll never be good for anything. Kindness to yourself is an important practice as well. But as I close tonight, if you claim to be born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, a child of God, whatever phrase you want to use, then prove it. Be kind. Not because you're told to in little, but because the Bible talks about being kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God and Christ forgave you. The danger is that our faith is just a bag of words that has no connection to the real people in our families, the real people in our workplace, the real people in our neighborhoods, the real people in church. A kindly soul is someone who practices kindness and is a walking example of a disciple of Jesus Christ. I finish with the story of Dr. Bernardo, the man who famously founded the children's homes in the Victorian era. One day in the street, a child beggar asked to be taken into one of the homes, and Dr. Bernardo said, hold on a minute, I know nothing about you, son. To which the boy held out his rags and said to him, I thought these would be enough, sir. And it said that Bernardo just gathered him up in his arms and took him into the orphanage. Just kindness. So go and do likewise. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this message tonight, Lord. And again, we're going to say the same thing. It's such a simple talk. It's such a simple explanation of the Bible. And yet, speaking for myself and probably speaking for most people here, Lord, it's so hard to be kind. It's so hard to be compassionate. It's so hard to be good to people, especially to those who annoy us or who have nothing to give us or have no real connection to us. Help us, we pray, Father, to be character changed by the power of your Spirit. Help us, we pray, Lord, if we claim to be Christians tonight, to be kind, to be of a kindly disposition, and thus to reflect the Master. Because, Father, we know that when Jesus was on earth, he was kindly. He was kind to people, to widows and orphans and to those who were lepers and to those who were sick, to those who were lost, he was kind. And, our Father, we pray that we might be like Jesus and so glorify Jesus in this day and age of cruelty and harshness and Twitter mobs and people trolling one another and so much unkindness in the world. Help us, we pray, Lord, to be different, to be salt and light for Jesus' sake, and thus to live out the Christian faith. For we pray in Christ's name.